Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. We're glad to be here to help you think better and brighter. Getting a little bit of a late start today, but not too bad, and we hope we make you you think a little bit deeper today. But before we do that, we need to check in the weather for you, so in case you're on your way to work.
All right, now it's 39 degrees in Greenville, Spartanburg, 41 in Greenville downtown, 41 in Anderson, 42 in Clemson. Today we can look for mostly sunny skies, high in the lower 60s, with east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lower in the 40s. And northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. So it looks like a pretty nice, crisp day today, Dr. Coben.
All right.
One quote for you to start the show this morning. This is by Dan Quayle. He says, "I love California. Why, I practically grew up in Phoenix."
Man, you just can't get Dan Quayle in front of a microphone. That's his problem. Once you do that, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know, our current president seems to have a little bit of that problem as well, so...
Man, well, I wonder if there's any way I can get some more volume in my earphones, because I can't hear much here, but that may just be my age. Oh, and all of a sudden, there it is. The lights have come on. Well, the ears come on, or the sound, or something. Any rate, well, here's the Herding Bunnies Ordinance, a children's bedtime story by Dan Holman. What a way to start a Christian Worldview show, huh? The Herding Bunnies Ordinance. Every year, my wife plants a large vegetable garden in our backyard. We live near the muddy Mississippi River, where the soil is fertile and rich in minerals. The tender sprouting vegetables draw in lots of hungry furry critters. They often leave us with little to harvest. I had set up some bunny traps, but the bunnies were too smart for them. I bought a pellet rifle and plunked a few, but bunny-loving neighbors complained and I had to give it up. I bought an electric fence which kept most of the critters out of the garden. Some of the professors of the local college board heard about this and rallied some of the students. They carried signs around our neighborhood which said, "Electric fences hurt bunnies." Electric fences hurts bunnies. Their protest drew attention to the city council, which was up for re-election that year. The city council narrowly passed a herding bunnies ordinance, which forced us to take down the fence. I put it in an expensive cyclone fence with razor-sharp wire on top. I hoped that our return on the vegetables would eventually pay off. It was a lot of bother working inside this fence, but it kept the critters out. The Herding Bunnies Ordinance inspired the organizations of bunny lovers to expand bunny rights. Sympathetic professors and students helped a bunny lover get elected to the city council. With every new right the bunnies gain, the rights of others are lost, and every new government program comes with administrative costs. "This is how democracy works," said the professor in his lesson. "What we considered a bunny problem is a bunny lover's blessing." The Herding Bunny Ordinance expanded year by year. It soon included spotted owls and ducks and fish and deer. We finally gave up our garden and farmers forced out of stock, sold their lands to developers who chopped them into blocks. Now every pound of meat we buy comes from Mexico, where cows are cows, pigs are pigs, and that's how they're bought and sold. If there be a lesson learned from this, if there be a lesson told, don't be making radical new laws that depart from laws of old. Okay, that's an Iowa farmer for you giving his wisdom for us here on Christian Worldview. Well, here's something out from Chuck Baldwin. That's right, Chuck Baldwin. "John Jay is one of America's most celebrated founders. He was America's first Supreme Court Chief Justice and also co-authored I'm losing my place here all of a sudden. Must be too early for me. He was America's first Supreme Court Justice and also co-authored the Federalist Papers. Jay's influence upon the founding generation was immense. Jay is credited with saying, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rules, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." At the heart, all the heartburn and consternation of liberals notwithstanding, America was founded as a Christian nation. Furthermore, the vast influence of Christianity upon America's colonists did not seem to risk to irk the progressives such as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. The way today's liberals seem to despise Christianity only serves to indicate the depth of their intolerance. The truth is, progressives have never heard anything, never had anything to fear from true conservatives or from Christian ideology. Then again, could it be that most modern liberals are not really progressives at all, but are actually socialists at heart? That would help explain much of their conduct, wouldn't it? But I digress. As a major player in the promotion of the U.S. Constitution, Jay certainly subscribed to the no religious test language contained therein. Furthermore, except for the latest couple of generations of Americans, everyone recognized that while America was established by Christians upon Christian principles, there was to be no constitutional preference for any Christian sect. That is to say, no state church. This was the clear meaning of the First Amendment until the landmark Supreme Court rulings in 1962 and 63. Therefore, where John Jay made the statement that our Christian nation was to prefer Christians as our leaders, he was not advancing the notion that Americans choose leaders that are based upon their denominational affiliation. Neither was he advancing the notion that voters allow themselves to be deceived by the Christian rhetoric. Jay was assuming that regardless of denominational political persuasion, true Christian men would conduct themselves with certain decorum and principle. As Christians, men were expected to be honest, fair, and faithful, and on the whole, this expectation was met for around a century before and after 1776. Well, that's not quite good a whole century now, since that would include people like Lincoln and Grant and many other scoundrels, but I digress. The problem today is that for professing Christian is all but meaningless. Professing Christians can be just as deceitful, just as dishonest, just as immoral, and just as mean-spirited as anyone else. This is true in virtually every segment of life. It is doubly true in politics. For example, when looking for an integrity within the hearts of our political leaders, look no further than one's fidelity to the U.S. Constitution. Remember, the oath of office which every constitutional officer takes upon assuming office is that he or she will faithfully follow the Constitution regardless of party platform or personal propensities. Political office holders take an oath to obey the Constitution. Therefore, if an elected politician has any true Christianity within him, he will do his best to uphold his oath to the U.S. Constitution. After all, he gave his word to the American people and to Almighty God. By the same token, any elected office holder who does not uphold his or her oath to the Constitution should be regarded as revealing serious dereliction, both to his political and Christian responsibility. The result of this dereliction should be that the good Christian voters of the home, district, or state would forthwith remove him or her from office. Clearly, this is what John Jay meant when, by his statements that our Christian nation should prefer Christians as our political leaders. Therefore, how can Christians today treat infidelity to the Constitution so cavalierly? How can they continue to cover up or even condone obvious abridgments upon their liberties? How can they tolerate perennial assaults against the Bill of Rights? How can they continue to support political office holders who routinely, incessantly act in an unchristian manner? Boy, Chuck Baldwin here really needs to have a lesson in economics and in how politics works, maybe. Anyway, he seems pretty baffled by it, but I'll continue on here. Yet, by continuing to support this unconstitutional conduct of presidents and congressmen, not to mention a host of local and state leaders, Christian voters reveal themselves unfaithful to their own Christian profession. After all, it is not one of the most fundamental commands of Christ that our yea be yea and our nay be nay? In other words, that we be people of our word? Or did I miss the part where Jesus exempted politicians? Herein lies the real problem. Many pastors and Christian leaders are not teaching genuine Christianity. If they were a Christian people, would understand what John Jay meant when he said we should prefer Christians as our leaders, and they would know it has nothing to do with electing pretending Christians who continue to break their word and run roughshod over the Constitution. I guess he's talking about George Bush and the Congress. Well, okay, a long article, long worth reading today because it is of interest to us. Here's my take on it. This is my perspective. True principled people do not get elected to office. Principles and office holding and politics do not go hand in hand. And the reason why the founders, the first president, say at least, Washington, Jefferson, Adams, all the way down to John Quincy Adams, perhaps, all of them were different is because they were, in fact, revolutionaries, if you want to call it that. They were the people who started the whole thing going. They were the principled men who put their lives on the line, whose conduct was very different than the rest that would follow. other people who were elected were party men who were good at pandering and being demagogues, and they were able to get elected by compromise, not by principle. And as time went on, things began to degenerate, and we see that all the way into people like Polk, and then later on into, of course, the nefarious Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant and many others since then. It has gotten worse since then because of the nature of the political process, not to mention the nature of the state. And the idea that we could somehow elect people like Jefferson or Adams is a myth. It's a ruse. It's silly. It's not going to happen because principled people don't get elected in the kind of system like we have today. That's why Thomas Jefferson wisely said, we need a little bit of revolution every now and then, like every 20 years, because the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. I see no other way to do it historically, and I see no other way to do it practically even today. The pipe dream that some people have that through this political process and these charlatans that are elected to run the country will actually change things is mythical, false hope, vanity, and absurd. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to try to jump to a quick break. And after we come back from this break, we're going to have an opportunity to speak with Mr. Greg Ferrier, who's going to be on the line talking with us about some interesting things this half hour. And then at 8:15, we're going to have Mr. Robert Clarkson join us, who's going to talk to us about what the tax honesty movement is being undergoing right now because of Irwin Schiff and his the assault against him here in the upstate. So at any rate, we'll be back after this break and look forward to having you listen.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Edward Abbey.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Are you tired of politicians who raise your taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. in Greenville, the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. In Spartanburg, the Liberty of Plenty meeting is on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And then we have one other quick ad, and that is that the Worldviews Project has published a book called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. This is by our favorite man, philosopher up in the state here, Stephen Yates, Dr. Stephen Yates. And if you're interested in getting a copy of this, it's $20.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling. If you're a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, you can take $2 off that price and send all orders, make a check payable to the Worldviews Project, to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, 29615. All right, we have now joining us on the line Mr. Greg Ferrier. Welcome, Greg. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Well, hopefully today we're going to talk about some pretty interesting subjects, I'm thinking, aren't we? What we're trying to do is pick up where we left off yesterday and the day before about this fellow Knox Vicesimus. Am I pronouncing that right? Greg, have I got...
Yes, that was quite close. I didn't ever have to speak to him in person, so I assume that when he heard that, that's how he said his name.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, but his stuff was very fascinating to me to read. Now, he was an Anglican, was he not? Is that right?
I didn't hear that. Your volume is rather low.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to figure out what's going on. I'll be checking with our producer here as I speak, trying to figure out why...
That's better.
Oh, you've got it now? Okay.
Now you're there.
All right, okay. Well, just we're trying to figure out about Knox Vicesimus. Is it Vicesimus Knox? What was it? Let's see.
That's right.
All right.
Knox was his family name.
Now, what do we know about this fellow, this Vicesimus Knox fellow?
Well, as I understand it, and as I run into this fellow, he was something that as I've been thinking about this... he was a contemporary with one Isaac Backus.
Ah, one of our favorite Baptists.
Yes, although Mr. Knox was an Anglican. I guess we would call him an evangelical Anglican.
Okay.
And something that I was going to, knowing what you know about both of these men, I thought a good topic for discussion might be what would be the difference or perhaps the similarity between the two of them in where they stood. You read at length, and there was even more length in the article about war, mm-hmm, and peace.
Okay.
Now you Isaac Backus was an advocate of the what we commonly call the revolution.
Right.
And Mr. Knox, in what we were reading there, he was not just a pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, war for him was justifiable in its proper place.
Like Spurgeon also believed that, but he hated war otherwise.
That's right, and we all ought to. We were talking last week about that quote. It came to me one day about... what General Lee said something about it is good that war is so horrible lest we would revel in it, or something to that effect.
Mm.
In other words, what is happening today, what has come up in what has gotten you all excited is and me as well. Today we have a war in Iraq and aggression around the world by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of preachers today, the Falwells and company, are pro-war, so to speak,
yeah,
because and they just seem to blindly be following the Republican dogma or doctrine. We're out here to promote peace in the world via, you know, tearing up all these hostile administrations.
Okay.
Now, is there a parallel? The question, and I'm trying to do this in a question format just to make some of the folks out there think. What is the what's the difference? What's the similarity in the time of our own revolution and and what's going on now, and what went on in Lincoln's War?
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go on, I want to make sure that listeners know that if they're going to call in and talk to Greg and I about this topic, they need to use only one and only line because of the way things are set up this morning. 864-201-6955. That's the call-in line if you want to talk to either Greg or me about these issues. 864-201-6955. Now, Greg, this stuff is very interesting to me just because I see Christians have the attitude quite often that they need to be in favor of war because they need to be in favor of the big military and because that's what government is supposed to do. And it's sort of a logical disconnect, and it's a very different vision than the Founding Fathers had, and it's certainly a different definition, I think, than the Bible portrays. War is a result of sin. And that's what James tells us in James chapter 3, or James chapter 4, and elsewhere in the Bible. War is a consequence of sinful behavior and sinful hearts protruding into the culture, protruding into civilization, where one man tries to lord it over another. Wars are often promulgated by states and vying for power over territory and over the lives of citizens. And wars are an awful thing. There are lives destroyed, people who are struggling to get by and provide, you know, college educations for their kids or provide, you know, a good upbringing in a homeschool environment or whatever it might be, are torn apart, literally destroyed by warfare, by the aggression of groups of predators. And Christians should not be in favor of this. This is an awful, terrible thing, war. And Spurgeon is right, and Vicesimus Knox is right, and others, that this is not something we desire and we laud. But where Christians go afoul on the pacifist side is to say, oh, we need to be peace, men of peace. And men of peace mean that we never pick up a gun. We never want to do anything to harm somebody else. No,
give peace a chance, so to speak.
Well, that's nonsense. What we really want to see is people taking up arms and repelling predators and being willing to do that. And when the predator is a state predator, whether it's a federal agent that's coming to confiscate all your arms or just subvert the Constitution and the liberties you have through the Bill of Rights, or whether it's just a criminal in your home, it doesn't matter. You need to have self-defense. And Christians seem to have it backwards today. They want to support the state's egregious, aggressive warfares across the world to build the empire. And then in addition to that, when it comes to the government at home or the state at home, they would never think about raising an arm against one of them. No, that's our divinely ordained state. We can't do anything. If they want to aggress us, that's okay. And this is totally backwards. This is against the Christian worldview to be pro-war and unwilling to be the ultimate check against your own state. Christians should lead the charge, as Bacchus would and some of these others, to fight against the oppressive state, including our own, and to defend ourselves against criminals in general, but never to be an aggressor on the world front, an imperialist, so to speak.
When we, I remember in back in my time, and it's oftentimes sung at peace rallies and so forth. You remember John Lennon and Yoko Ono used to have that, "All we are saying, give peace a chance." Remember that?
That's,
is it recognizable when I sing it?
Yeah, not really, but I do remember a number of those peace.
It was one of the. It was almost like a Buddhist doing his mantra. Perhaps Mark might give you a nod there. It is something that's rather popular. It was back in the late 60s, early 70s, and you know, because John Lennon and others would sing it, it became very popular.
Well, I think the producer here, Mark, was listening on the drive over. It's been real familiar to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's checking into that.
Well, anyway, that was a song that became very popular, and it came out of the left.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, you have the reaction from the right, that would say, oh, they're just a bunch of peaceniks. And, of course, the Republicans were behind the, you know, a variety, well, I shouldn't say that, you know, Lyndon Johnson was probably the biggest propagator of Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the left came, and it, and I bring this up to kind of unravel the problem or the mystery of how did the so-called Christian right get into the aggressive war movement.
All right. And, Greg, we have about, you know, we have to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to be listening to the Bill of Rights, and we're going to ponder some of these things while we're at the break. And when we come back, I'm going to read a short piece about Lawrence Vance, and we're going to continue talking about Knox and this guy Vance, who we like all of a sudden, but has some foibles too, and Greg's going to be bringing a few of those things out. Or we all have foibles.
Yeah.
At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. On the line now with Greg Ferrier, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont. Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Frederick Bastiat.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 27th day of October 2005. So glad, as usual, that you've joined us. I want to remind folks to check out policyofliberty.net and tyrannyresponse.com. Now, on tyrannyresponse.com, there's an events tab, and if you scroll down under the events, you'll find a calendar. And on today's calendar, yes, indeed, we have the meeting of the Constitution Party tonight at South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, as well as the meeting of the Greenville County taxpayers downtown Greenville at the library there. So if you can make either meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, hope you'll make an attempt to do so. And at any rate, we want to take a quick look at the weather, I know, because some of you are still on your way to work.
Yeah, Dr. John, we're starting to warm up just a little bit, still 39 in Greenville, but 42 downtown Greenville, 39 at the airport, 40 in Anderson, 42 in Clemson. As we said, it'll be mostly sunny today, high in the lower 60s, and with east winds 5 to 10. I'm looking at the history. The maximum temperature has been on this day is 68. I'm sorry, the normal max temperature 68, the record is 85, and today we're looking in the lower 60s, so we're about normal for this time of year. Finally, we've had this warm weather for the last few months, but starting to get back to normal. So,
well,
enjoy.
Yes, good deal. We will have to enjoy that. Well, while we're getting Greg Ferrier back on the line here, I'm just going to read something about Lawrence Vance. Lawrence Vance, Ph.D., is a teacher, author, publisher, a freelance writer, a book dealer, the editor of the Classic Reprints series, and director of the Francis Wayland Institute. He holds degrees in history, theology, accounting, and economics. The author of 7 books and 2 collections of essays, he regularly contributes articles and book reviews to both secular and religious periodicals, including the Freedom Daily, the Free Market, and the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. Dr. Vance's writing interests include free market economics, government spending and corruption, the socialism and statism of conservative pundits and politicians, Baptist theology, English Bible history, Greek grammar, and the folly of war. Okay, well, I won't read all the rest of the stuff here. Greg, are you on the line with us now?
Yes, I happen to have been through all that.
Okay.
And had some, about as familiar with it as you just read that.
Okay.
As it sounds.
Well, what do we know about Vance? I mean, when I read his stuff yesterday, I thought, man, this guy is very similar to the Tyranny Response Unit on some things. But you had told me off the air that you suspect that he might be an anti-Calvinist, in which case he would differ greatly from me. But he might also have some other disagreements. What else do you know about this fellow Vance?
Well, I don't know about any other disagreements. You don't necessarily have to be a Calvinist to be a freedom lover.
No, you just have to be a Calvinist
on
to be
the outside.
Yeah, you just have to be a Calvinist to be right. But you can still love freedom and be wrong. That's
well,
true.
It's was it not? Who was it said that as long as you're a Calvinist on your knees?
Ah, okay. Well, that's my problem. I'm not on my knees enough, perhaps, but they're not worn out enough, unless I fall over.
Yeah, well, that's perhaps why Charles Wesley could have such sovereign grace songs and yet be a professing Arminian, as they call them.
Well, you know, Doc, it appears to me if you're going to pray to a God and he can't do anything, you're not going to pray. So usually those that are on their knees at least approach him as a sovereign God.
Yeah, in other words, you can you're bowing before the God that you know, whether your theology happens to be as Reformed or Calvinistic as perhaps we would like it to be.
Okay, our show isn't primarily to talk about soteriology, so let's switch for a minute and talk about Vance's political theory, because it seems like the stuff we've been reading is heralding or hailing this Vicesimus Knox fellow, as well as pointing out the necessity for getting away from aggressive warfare.
Do you remember that article that we dug up about that he wrote about Spurgeon?
No, go ahead and refresh us here. The one we read just 2 days ago, you mean, or was it a while?
No, this was something several months ago, and that's where I basically ran into him. He talked about Spurgeon in the Victorian era was evidently England being around the world, having an empire around the world, evidently was engaging in wars, many famous wars of that era. And I guess some were to defend the widespread territory that England or Great Britain had, and Spurgeon was in some cases very caustic about aggressive war. But Spurgeon also recognized that there comes a time when we must defend ourselves. And Mr. Vance, Dr. Vance, has evidently brought all that up.
Now, is his PhD in history? Where is his PhD from? Do we know anything about his background?
No, I can't. I couldn't find it, and I read a review of his book, "The Dark Side of Calvinism," and there was some fellow out of Texas took him on, and it was rather a scorching article. I'll have to get that out to you.
Okay.
In other words, this you know the. Cut and paste research. Now, you certainly, with your doctoral thesis, did not do cut and paste research, and this is what he's been accused of.
Well, that's right, man. I was going to make a snide remark, but I won't do that. I don't do snide remarks very often. But I wonder about where he went to school. You know, a lot of times you can tell a lot about a person based on where they went to grad school, when you're talking about PhDs. For instance, George Mason, where I went, well known that if you get out of there, you're a free market kook who just doesn't like, you know, big government and state. And that's because it attracts a lot of professors that hold to that view, and it's rare. If you go to the New School, or if you go to the University of Colorado at Boulder, or some of these other places, you know that you're pretty much a communist, because those are the communist outposts, and everything else sort of lies in between somewhere on a continuum between the New School and the University of Colorado.
Yeah, well,
and George Mason.
Of course, in the church nowadays, it's the free will versus the sovereignty of God.
Right.
Basically. Even though many of them are probably Calvinist on their knees, but people who believe in the sovereignty of God, God being the controller of all things. Was it you that told me that little phrase by D. James Kennedy, who said that if there were one or two maverick molecules in the whole universe, God ceases to be God?
Yeah, that was actually not D. James Kennedy, but Sproul, R.C. Sproul, on
okay.
his lecture on the Westminster Confession,
maybe,
Chapter 3.
I heard that via Mr. Kennedy, unless Sproul is the one who... it doesn't matter where it came from, but it's a terrific quote. There are people... in the churches that teach, you know, there are maverick molecules, not only maverick molecules, but maverick people in the world.
Well, I tell you what, Greg, I had a Christian here in the Upstate arguing one night that that God does not ordain evil men. He can't, because he's good. And there are things that are outside of God's control. And I told him, as soon as he does it, not only has God ceased to be God, but he has adopted something other than a Christian worldview. If God is not in control of everything that comes to pass, like the Westminster Confession or the Baptist Confession of 1689 say, and others, then God ceases to be God, and it's a worthless battle that we're fighting or that we're engaged in, and we might as well be pagans if indeed God can be defeated in any area or at any time.
Here's a challenge to those who don't believe in what we would commonly call the sovereignty of God. There's a book out there, a very short, small book, about a quarter inch thick, and it's by Jay Adams, a local man here, Dr. Jay Adams, and it's called The Grand Demonstration, and where he seeks to deal with what's commonly called the problem of evil. And if anybody feels like they need a challenge, who are on the side of the non- or anti-Calvinist people, even those who believe in those few little maverick molecules, read that book. Go get that book. I know it has been available out at the Greenville Seminary bookstore, but it's a small book, and
yeah.
He deals with God God overall dealing and ordaining all things.
All things that come to pass. Well, Greg, you know, it's 8:15 now. We have to run, but this has been a very interesting introduction to all of this topic. I hope that when you're on the show in the studio next week with me, we can develop this even further, these kinds of people like Lawrence Vance, as well as Vicesimus Knox, especially him, because we don't usually hear about him. You don't hear about Samuel Rutherford and many of the others, you know, but we don't, and the founders, for instance, but we don't hear about some of these folks, and it's nice to bring up something new once in a while. So let's try to bring it up next week and continue this thought. We've got, in the next coming half hour, we've got Mr. Robert Clarkson, who's going to join us, he's going to talk to us about the whole tax honesty movement and his being oppressed by the state and so forth right now. So really appreciate you being on today with us, Greg.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here. I can hardly wait to show up again next Friday after this one, and I'll be all ears.
Okay, very good. All right, Greg, thanks for joining us. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after this break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9:00 a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessing of socialism is the equal sharing of misery. Winston Churchill.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome you back. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this 27th day of October 2005. Want to remind folks that the Tyranny Response Network is volunteer-driven, and volunteers contribute the money that makes the thing work and happen. If you can help out in any way with the Tyranny Response Network, check out the tyrannyresponse.com website and look for the address on the front of the page where you can mail your check, as well as the tab that says Contacts. If you click on an email address somewhere where it says Contacts, you should be able to easily send a message to one of the folks at the TRN and tell them how you can volunteer. We need a producer, for a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview show for a couple hours a month. We also need folks who are able to work with technological issues like radio transmitter signal, as well as people who know something about computers. Yes, computer networking especially. If you can help with any of these things, go to the Contacts tab on tyrannyresponse.com and give us a shout. Also, you can give Chuck a shout directly. Leave a message for him during the day at 271-6761, and he'll help hook you up as well. Well, right now, we are very honored to have on the line with us Mr. Robert Clarkson. Mr. Robert Clarkson's been embroiled in the tax honesty scandal, or the scam that the federal government has been attacking people with lately here. He's going to tell us a little bit about that and what his experience has been, as well as what's going on with Irwin Schiff in Las Vegas. So welcome to the show, Robert.
Good morning, John, and good morning, loyal listeners. I'm so honored you had me on your show. You worked so hard all these years to build it up, and I'm glad to see your hard work is going to fruit.
Well, you've been
working out.
Well, certainly you've been in this movement as long as me, and even longer, working hard against the state and those who want to oppress people. And we applaud you for your wonderful efforts. And sorry to hear that the state is turning against you right now, as it's bound to do.
I've been helping little people against Big Brother for almost 30 years. In 1975, I was practicing law in the lower part of South Carolina, and I had my first tax case. And I caught the agent lying to him and created a big fuss and turned him into his inspection division. So word got around that I had some expertise in audits and fighting the IRS, so people came to me. Also, I didn't like the government. I had a bad time in the Army. I came home and didn't like the government one bit. So I passed word through the legal community and CPAs that I'd represent people free against the IRS. So I had a lot of clients. Then people called me, collect, and I pay my own travel. I didn't charge them a cent, not even expenses. Mm. And I built up an immense amount of expertise in how to deal with audits and tax court. Then I went full-time into what's called a tax service, helping people being harassed by the IRS or actually in any government agency. And then also I was a full-time helping non-filers and tax protesters. Because back then, huge numbers of people filed protest returns. The IRS would harass them. So I've got 30 years of standing up against oppressive tax thieves and collectivist people trying to tell us what to do against the Constitution.
Well, tell us what you think about Irwin Schiff now and what's going on. All the papers in the upstate have you, on the chopping block, so to speak. What's going on with all of that?
Well, they've been harassing Irwin Schiff for years, and any time you file a tax return like he does, you're opening yourself up to difficulties. I hadn't filed in 28 years, and they left me alone. The non-filers are just flat-out being left alone. The people that file are the ones that have problems, and he believes in filing tax returns. Irwin Schiff's a dear friend for 25 years. He's a truly great patriot and a wonderful supporter of our Constitution, stands up for it. But I'd recommend slightly different methods or procedures fighting the IRS.
Right.
In my case,
right now,
they're doing everything they can to shut me up, which ain't going to happen. They brought this case 2 years ago twice, and I beat them. Now they brought it the third time. I'll beat them again. And most of the lawsuits are civil lawsuits. It's a civil lawsuit, just like an automobile accident divorce case, in federal court where the Department of Justice is seeking an injunction, a court order to shut me up and make me be quiet in violation of my freedom of speech rights under the Constitution. Mm. And the lawsuit's absurd. More than half of it, I don't know what they were talking about. I'm not doing it. It involves other people. I'm not involved with most of the things they're saying. Let me tell you how absurd it is. They asked me to turn over my members' Social Security numbers. John, could you see me, the founder of the Libertarian Party and the founder of the Constitution Party in South Carolina, even collecting Social Security numbers? The whole thing's ridiculous.
I thought you were trying to help people not have Social Security numbers, and so why in the world would you collect them other than just take all the cards and put them in a pile and light them on fire for them? I don't understand that either.
Yeah, it's terrible. They also said that I charge $55 to untax people. Listen, John, when I untax people, they quit paying taxes the rest of their life with no problems. I guarantee my untax packet works. And I'm not going to sell it for piddly $55. I'll sell it for $300, and new price is
$400.
Okay. If I'm going to show people how to quit paying taxes for decades, and they're going to make all that extra money. They're going to pay me more than a piddly $55.
Well, now give us a quick commercial, Robert. If people are interested in stop paying taxes, where do they go and meet you? I mean, do they come? I mean, we advertise regularly the Carolina Patriots meetings that are in Asheville, that are in Fountain Inn, and that are in Greenville on our station here, just so people know that those meetings are going on. And I know those meetings don't only deal with untaxing people, but is that where they would go? Where would you recommend they go if they want to get involved with paying their $400 and untaxing?
Well, the main way to contact me is through the website. The website, I think you mentioned from time to time, the website is patriotnetwork.info. And on our website, we've got the list of the club meetings and locations and also phone numbers and email addresses for me. People that email and we email me, we'll send them back an immense amount of information. The website really has it all there. It's got an immense amount of information, including all the litigation and paperwork dealing with this case.
Now we
don't know if it's up yet, but it'll be up soon.
Right. Now, you can mention, too, I think you have clubs beyond the three that I mentioned. Remember, we have an Internet broadcast that goes out all over the place, and there may be people in other areas. It's mostly in the Southeast, right?
Mostly in the Southeast, but we're setting up a club right now in Cincinnati. We've got a club in Missouri and setting up one in Oregon now. Most in the Southeast, but we've got them all over. And we show people how to stand up for their rights, how to protect themselves against oppressive government agencies, and of course, how to untax. Now, what it is, we show people how to pay taxes, how to not pay taxes they don't owe. If you owe a tax, run down there and pay it, John.
Yeah.
We're Americans, or at least South Carolinians here, and we want to do what's right. The IRS is doing what's wrong.
Mm.
We want to obey the law. They're the one who's not obeying the law. We advocate strict adherence to the law. If you owe a tax, go pay it. Our motto is pay the taxes you owe, don't pay the ones you don't owe, and learn the difference.
Mm.
John, paying taxes you owe is bad enough. Paying the ones you don't owe is tragic.
Yeah, isn't that something? Why in the world would you want to pay a tax that you don't owe? It doesn't make any sense. I guess out of fear. Well, Robert, are they trying to shut down your webpage? You mentioned this thing, and as I recall, they didn't like patriotnetwork.info.
Well, there's portions of it they don't like. 99% they're not challenging. It's 1% they're challenging. What's facing me is should I do all this work to fight them when the part they don't like, I don't do anyway. They're not messing with 99%. What they're doing is trying to keep me from untaxing people, but not show people, American people, how to not pay taxes they don't owe. The rest of the stuff they're not messing with. Also, in the last 30 years, I've been going into the IRS offices with people. If you get audited and you go to the IRS, I'll go with you. I generally like to take about 10 or 15 people and some camera crews. I think Mark there is with you, has been with me when we do these office invasions on the IRS. We do them all the time, and the news media covers them. We'll take you on one time, and you can do a live broadcast with your cell phone.
Well, that...
So we go inside the office, 10 or 15 people, and generally local TV stations do it. Now, John, here's the worst part. You ready?
Yep.
I got a friend whose name is The Great One.
Hmm.
We don't know what his real name is or where he lives, but if we have an audit, we get in touch with him, and he will go inside the IRS office, identify himself as The Great One, and he wears a huge bright red cape with the word Great One against it, and a huge sombrero. The IRS thinks he's making fun of him. He goes in there and wrecks havoc. He creates a lot of problems for him, and the news media loves it. It's a lot of news media attention on this.
Right.
The IRS hates it.
So anyway, you're not too concerned then about what's going on with this civil suit. It's just it's more of a nuisance for you. But I'm wondering what their purpose is. Just to harass, it sounds like, and scare people, because what they're claiming is that you've cost the IRS so much money, and they're very concerned about that. How much have you cost the IRS over the years, do you suppose?
Probably the justice told a judge in one case that over the years, the amount of money that I've cost the IRS was unbelievable. Then he said some more juicy stuff. He said I'd untaxed 6,000 people, I raised my hand and said, hey, I already testified it was 16,000 people.
Yeah.
Six years ago, then he said that over the years I'd undermined the credibility of the tax service. Well, it was easy to do. Then he concluded by saying, in conclusion, Your Honor, the magnitude of damage that Clarkson has done to the tax service is simply unimaginable.
Well, that's a good way to put it. And I remember something in the current lawsuit. They mentioned that this guy's got to be stopped because all these people are not paying taxes now, and it's a real problem. Well, you know, Robert...
I used to untax people and help them at audits and help them defend themselves if they're taxed. But now Irvin Schiff and so many other people have untaxed them. I really don't do much untaxing anymore. I just don't have occasion for it. So apparently they're trying to stop me from untaxing. Well, I don't do much of it anyway. So I don't know what I'm going to do on that. It's not worth the fight. Now, they won a lot of lawsuits. This is a tax shelter act.
Yeah.
They've classified our political club as a tax shelter. It's the absurdity of it. They've got judges that back them up on this, but most of them tell them to leave us alone.
Right. Now, Robert,
I never sold a tax shelter. As a matter of fact, I never seen one.
Okay. Robert, you know, we've come to the bottom of the hour break, so please hang on during the break. When we come back, we want to know what your response is to people that say, Robert, I'm scared. The paper is scaring me. What do I do? You know about me, and there are people who have called the station here and other places and said, what are we going to do? So be prepared to give an answer to those people who are fearful right now about this whole lawsuit. And we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinions of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 27th day of October 2006. Glad you've joined us. Had an exciting show today so far. First with Mr. Greg Ferrier on talking about some of these important theological issues. And now we have Robert Clarkson on the line with us. But before we get back to that interesting conversation, let's check out the weather.
All right. It's going to be still saying high in the 60s, and we're still hovering around 42 in downtown Greenville, 40 at Anderson, 42 in Clemson as well. Looking for low 60s today. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lower in the 40s.
Okay, very good. Well, we have on the line with us still Robert Clarkson. In case you've just joined us and you want to make a call to the show and talk to either myself or especially Robert Clarkson, you can do so by dialing 244-9904. That's 864-244-9904. Robert will be on for at least another 10 or 12 minutes. So if you have an opportunity to give a call and you want to, go ahead and dial right now, 864-244-9904. Okay, Robert, so how would you answer the question that people are raising right now? They're so concerned. They see your name in the headlines, the Spartanburg paper, the Greenville paper. Everybody's slamming you and saying, watch out, if you're involved with Clarkson, you're going to go to jail like Irwin Schiff. Robert, are you there? Well, did we lose Robert in the middle of the break all of a sudden? We lost him. All right. Well, I'm going to read a story then, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get our producer to call back there and get him on. Well, okay. We definitely need to have Robert answer that question for us. Anyway, here, the anti-Syria scam. The Secretary of State is trying to ramp up war against Syria. This is amazing for many reasons, says Paul Craig Roberts. The UN investigator Detlev Melis has no more idea who assassinated the former official than the U.S. knows who is responsible for assassinating the many Iraqi officials under his protection. After more than 2.5 years of war in Iraq, the U.S. still doesn't know exactly who the enemy that it is fighting, yet Melis blames Syria for assassination on the strength of an informer described by the German news magazine Der Spiegel as a convinced felon and swindler. On the basis of the word convicted felon and swindler, Condi Rice wants a high-level UN Security Council meeting to condemn Syria so the Bush administration can bring about regime change in Syria. It's all Syria can do to maintain its own stability. The U.S. is a great Middle Eastern destabilizer. Isn't the Secretary of State aware that a government of which she is part is in dire difficulties? And is this the time to repeat the Iraq blunder in Syria? The greatest danger the U.S. faces are the fools in the Bush administration, according to Paul Craig Roberts. We agree. According to news, unless it's the CFR or some other globalist behind the scenes that pull his little puppet strings, because Bush just isn't as bright, I don't think. According to news reports, the Bush administration has asked the Israeli and Italian governments to nominate a replacement for the current president of Syria. A country incapable of choosing a better president than George W. Bush has no business choosing a president for any other country. In place of aggressive interference in the internal affairs of other countries, the U.S. needs to find a competent president for itself. Maybe we should ask the Italians who they would recommend. Yes, why not? Might not be a bad choice. Well, on the other side of things, we have an article by Farah, who guy who falls off. Well, not Farah. No, check that. We're not talking about Farah today. There is an article that came in about there is no oil shortage. Author challenges dire predictions of $190 a barrel crude. Dire predictions of $190 a barrel oil this winter are scare tactics that are absolutely false, says Craig Smith, author of The Black Gold Stranglehold, The Myth of Scarcity, and the politics of old. And he goes through and talks about how these things are just not a real problem, that these barrels of oil and so forth that people are predicting will go through the roof are simply false, that there are plenty of reasons to believe we have more than enough oil that we need to carry on. So anyway, we've read some of that story before. Thought I'd bring it up to your attention once again. Well, then we have Ed, who sent in an email about secession. Yes, that big word secession, and he wants to remind us that there are a couple of states right now talking about seceding. There's, of course, the state of Texas, so people who would like to secede from the Union. That's been there for a long time. But now you have people in Florida talking about it, and the Hawaiian Nation talking about it. So at any rate, it could become very interesting. He said he talked to Thomas Naylor yesterday, that's in this article, and he said he's familiar with the Hawaiian nation activities, but apparently unaware of the Republic of Texas and Florida republics. Folks, this is not a joke. There will be a meeting of the Vermont Legislative Chamber on Friday, and there will be a vote on calling for secession. Can you believe it? This is great stuff. We like secession here, if you didn't know. We're not only pro-Confederate, I suppose. We're pro-secession in every way. So the Third Revolution may begin. Vermont is to secede from the United States. The official secession convention opens Friday in the state capitol building. If they vote to leave the Union, they will be the first state to do so since North Carolina left the U.S. in 1861. So anyway, we're going to keep some tabs on this. We want to follow up and not only with Hawaii, which is seceding for very different reasons, and Texas, Florida, but also Vermont. So at any rate, we're going to be interested in finding out exactly how that all turns out, aren't we? Okay. Well, at any rate, we've got Robert Clarkson back on the line again. Not sure why we lost Robert the first time, but we did. It's probably our own technological foibles here. Robert, are you back with us now?
Yes, I'm ready to expose the evil doings of the IRS and their harassment and tyranny campaign against the American sheeple.
Okay.
People don't know what their rights are.
Well, I tell you what, what are you going to say to the person who's scared right now that's calling the show and saying, what are we going to do? We see Robert Clarkson's name plastered all over the Spartanburg and Greenville newspapers, and Clarkson's going down. He's got trouble. There's going to be people all around arrested and people going to jail, and if you're part of the tax honesty movement, you see what's going to happen to you. Are you there? Well, we're having so much trouble keeping Robert on the phone line here, aren't we? All right. We're gonna try to get back to Robert again. I think he heard what I said, and it just cut off. Now Robert is down somewhere else besides Greenville today, traveling. So apparently that's part of our problem. We'll get him back as soon as we can. Or is he back now? All right, Robert. Did you hear?
The purpose of our association is to show people how to protect their rights and how to stand up for themselves. We teach classes on all these subjects. Material, and we have lots of stuff on the website to show people how to represent themselves. There are plenty of people in the upstate that can step in and take over that have been studying under me and have lots of practice, so that's not a problem. But we don't expect to lose this thing. We don't see any problem with it. We consider it just harassment. And the IRS is fairly easy to beat. The Constitution's so much against them.
Right. Okay. So your word to people is don't worry. This is not a huge problem. This is just a lot of IRS blowing smoke or whatever else that they don't have anything against. You know that's going to stick against you. They've sued you before.
It's a civil lawsuit against the untaxing, against the great one invading their offices. There's very little in there about my helping people teaching classes. They don't seem to be interested in that.
All right, Robert, would you please speak a little louder, more maybe directly into your phone there so we can get you well on the air here.
Yeah, I'm way out in the boondocks. But American people need to learn what their rights are and how to stand up against their oppressors. And that's what we do at our classes and videotapes. So we've taught a lot of people how to go to audits and how to stand up for themselves. Our club president there in Greenville, Steve, has been with us on a couple of times. Nelson, y'all all know what Nelson has been with me a dozen times. So, and also the great one is always available to help. He's a genuine superhero, John. He's a superhero that stands up for little people against big government.
Okay.
He comes to the aid of working people and normal people who have been oppressed by government agencies.
Hmm.
The great one's around, and he's a great fellow, and you'd just love to meet him. The IRS promise will get him to go to bat for you.
Well, that's good news. So your word to people is just ignore what the press is saying about you. It's not a problem. Yeah, they have filed a civil suit against you, but it's no big deal. You've beat them twice before on the same thing, and you're going to beat them again. It's a civil suit at any rate. It's not the same thing that Irwin Schiff was involved with, so we don't have much to be concerned about.
But I wouldn't tell people to ignore the news media. News media's got a lot of influence, or to ignore me. As a matter of fact, this publicity has been great. I've got hundreds of emails and phone calls since this publicity came down. People wanting to join us.
Huh.
Hear more about what I'm doing. So next meeting, we'll have a flood of new people coming in.
Robert, you didn't initiate this action yourself, did you, just to get publicity?
No, they... I wish I thought of it.
Huh.
Because a lot of people oppose the IRS tyranny, and they're aware that the IRS is a bunch of bullies. So here it is, in the front page of their newspaper, saying there's a person in a group standing up against the tyranny of the IRS. So these people have been contacting me. They ignored the rest of the article. The biggest problem was that is when the IRS released the press release, the DOJ sent the press release.
All right. Well, that sounds like we lost some battery on the cell phone there or something.
Yeah, I think the boonies got us.
They may well have. Well, anyway, we appreciate Robert Clarkson being on the line today. We'll make sure that his battery is well charged before... the next time we talk to him. Hopefully we'll have Robert on the show a week from today to give us an update on what's going on with this tax honesty movement stuff. But for right now, we've reached actually our final break time, so we're going to jump to a break and come back for our final segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You are listening to TRN. The Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
That we are here to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us again. Exciting show today. We're going to finish up with just a few miscellaneous news stories here. Someone sent me a book titled by Richard Miniter called Disinformation, 22 Media Myths That Undermine the War on Terror. Did you know that weapons of mass destruction have been found in Iraq, he says? And that there have been 1.77 metric tons of enriched uranium, 1,500 gallons of chemical weapons agents, 17 chemical warheads, blah, blah, blah. He claims in this book that conservatives are being misled and deceived, that really George Bush was right, that all this stuff is existing over there, that there is truly a reason to go to war in Iraq and so on and so forth. Against not only what the media says, not that we like the media in general, but what so much other information is pointed to that that Bush lied. In fact, right now Bush is up on charges, as far as I know, that he could possibly be up on charges. He's not up on charges yet, but he could be, for being a traitor, for committing treason against the American people by lying to go to war for various other reasons. Now, you know, like personal gain or to settle a grudge his dad had with Saddam or whatever else. Some of the lies this guy supposedly, or the myths he exposes, are, one, there's no connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Two, the U.S. funded the Taliban in the 1980s. That suitcase nukes are in place across America. Osama bin Laden was trained by the CIA. Halliburton made a fortune in Iraq. And that there were no Jews in the World Trade Center on 9/11. So he's apparently exposing all of these so-called myths. So anyway, it's a book that's probably be interesting to get a hold of and read just to see what he has to say. But he has a lot to overcome as far as information we have and other people have seen over time about this. Certainly not the way that you would expect it to play it out.
Dr. Coben, wouldn't you think that the president himself would have corroborated some of this information? He's never come back and said, oh, yeah, well, there were weapons of mass destruction. He's all the time said, I was misled.
That's right. You would think that he'd actually come out. This is just one of those little books, I imagine, that's been put out there to keep the whining Republicans, you know, back in line. You know, well, you know, I know you've heard all this stuff, but let's realize it's all true. You know that we do have all this stuff over there that we found, and you did the right thing after all. Make them pacified a little bit because they're a little restless right now, I guess. Anyway, he runs something involved with Human Events, a little magazine. Not too impressed with all that, but here's Charlie Reese writing on the same subject: disinformation. We like Charlie Reese, good Southern patriot. And here's what he has to say. Our terrorist foes are practicing a technique employed by the great Confederate cavalry leader General Nathan Bedford Forrest. It worked for him, and it's apparently working for the terrorists. Forrest, on several occasions, would arrange for a Northern prisoner to overhear him and his staff making plans for an attack. Later that night, Forrest's men made sure the prisoner escaped. Thinking he had valuable information, the prisoner would make straight for his command and tell his commander about Forrest's plans. The Northern Army would then move to ambush Forrest, who would, of course, strike at a different location. The tips about planned attacks against New York subway and the tunnel in Baltimore are probably disinformation. It's very easy for Al-Qaeda leaders to tell their underlings that such and such attack is planned on a certain date. Should these underlings fall into our hands, either because of bad luck or with little help from their bosses, they are squeezed, and if they squeal, then they are given lie detector tests. They pass because they believe what they were told. It's also true that some CIA sources might actually have double agents whose job is to spread disinformation. Our CIA has always been essentially a white Ivy League upper middle class agency that has a devil of a time evaluating people from different cultures. When the information is passed along, American leaders are confronted with a dilemma. Aside from New York City's own little CIA, most local politicians don't have any means whatsoever to evaluate foreign intelligence. If they are told by the feds that the information is credible, remember the guy passed the lie detector test, they have no choice but to employ the time-honored practice of CYB. Cover your backside. No politician can afford to ignore this credible threat on the off chance that if he did ignore an attack actually took place, his career would be over. It's always better to err on the side of caution, and I would do the same thing. This causes a lot of expense and disruption. It also shakes people's faith in their leaders and their intelligence agency. The old cry wolf syndrome begins to insinuate itself into people's consciousness. It's like those people who evacuated for hurricanes that ended up going somewhere else. It's like they grow skeptical about the official warnings. Furthermore, the reaction itself provides the terrorists with information about our resources and how our different government agencies will deploy them. Al-Qaeda's direct attacks against the U.S. have been few and far between. There was the first attack against the World Trade Center and the two embassies in Africa, the attack on USS Cole, and finally the 9/11 attacks. That's four in about 10 years. That's why you should not take much comfort when you hear people say, well, it's been 4 years since 9/11, and we've been safe, excluding those Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan. Chances are, if and when we are attacked, it will be in some place and in some manner we don't expect. The key advantage the terrorist has is that he gets to choose the target, the time, and the manner of attack. No one can guard all the possible targets of the time, all the time against their possible attacks. After the Bush administration leaves, we'd better replace it with one that has brains and the fortitude to tackle the political causes of terrorism. Otherwise, Osama bin Laden might well bankrupt us with a lot of phony threats and a few real attacks. That's from Charlie Reese today. Interesting thing to think about there, that's for sure. Well, we have a couple other stories that we're going to try to go through previously. We just have not even talked about things like the White Sox. The White Sox, who had ever thought they could have won the World Series, you know, in sweeping Houston? And Houston wasn't a bad team. They beat our Braves here, and it's too bad that they did, and especially to go out like they did against the American League team from the Windy City. Can't say that I have any. I just don't necessarily care much about the Chicago teams that much. Even though I've got some relatives in the area, let them have them. I still root for the home team here. Root for the home team. Well, we have also from Joseph Farah's G2 Bulletin, Messianic Madness on Nuclear Osama. Heavenly signs, bin Laden's Mahdi complex raise current threat of his American Hiroshima. The signs of the heavens and popular notion of the Islamic world that Osama bin Laden is the Mahdi, a long-awaited messianic deliverer, increased this month's risk of mega-terror attacks on the U.S., including raising the threat of al-Qaeda's nuclear Hiroshima plan, says an author and expert in a report released today to WorldNet Daily. Paul Williams, author of Al-Qaeda Connection and former FBI consultant, warns in a report that first appeared on Joseph Farah's G2 Bulletin, terror attacks on the U.S. before November 2nd would have a special spiritual significance. Islamic clerics point out that the signs in the heavens are propitious for such an event. White writes, Williams, this year Muslims will experience solar and lunar eclipses during the holy month. These great heavenly signs, according to Islamic visionary Hazrat Mizra Ghulam Shah Sahib, foretell the coming of Mahdi, the mighty warrior of the apocalypse, who will defeat the army of Yajuj wa Majuj, the infidel unbelievers. It's hard to do these Arabic words, I'm sorry, they're tough. Led by the Daba or the Beast. The Daba, so you want to know the name of the beast? It's Daba. D-A-B-B-A-H. He will lead the Muslims to great victory and bring forth the Day of Islam, when all creation falls before the throne of Allah. Millions of Muslims worldwide already regard bin Laden as Mahdi, says Williams and other analysts of Islam. Islamic tradition says that the Mahdi will be a descendant of Muhammad through his daughter Fatima, writes Williams. He will have a distinctive forehead, a prominent nose, and a black mole on his face, since he will rise from Arabia and be called from a cave by Allah to serve as the savior of all true believers. Well, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we serve a sovereign God, people, and if God is in his plan, has it that America will be nuked, it will be. There's nothing that's going to stop that. Whether or not we need to be fearful of these kinds of foes is another question entirely. Certainly, we don't have anything to fear from these false pagan gods that are purported by Allah and so forth, or by the Muslim religion. So we don't take much stock of that, obviously, but I don't know. What do we think? Will there actually be some terror attacks here in the U.S.? Farah says, there might be. Other people I've heard recently at the Christian Exodus meeting, people said there would be these suitcase nukes. Then you have folks like Charlie Reese saying, look, it's just disinformation. They're going to win by crying wolf. And, you've got a lot of people on different sides of this issue. I certainly don't want to see a nuclear attack here in America. But I wouldn't be surprised if one did occur. I mean, we attack other nations. And when you start attacking other nations, there are going to be reprisals from doing that. We're aggressors in the world right now, and we're not peace spreaders. We spread war and grief to places. And by doing that, we make a lot of people angry. And when they get angry, they come over here and do stuff or wherever they want to do it, and they attack back. It's not really that surprising. It doesn't take a lot of deep thinking to figure this stuff out, folks. Just kind of the way it goes when you become an aggressor. All right. Well, we have a phone call coming in the last minute of the show here, so we want to try to get that caller on the line. And when we do so, we'll end the show with this call. So we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Are you on the air?
Yes, I'm on the air, and I'm ready to expose the wrongdoing and evilness of the IRS.
Robert, you're back. Okay, well, I'm sorry we lost you. Robert, we have 1 minute and 20 seconds, so take the mic and go for 1 minute and 20, and then we'll close the show.
Well, I've been exposing the wrongdoing of the IRS, standing up for working people in South Carolina for 30 years, and I expect to continue. Also, my friend, the Cape Crusader, the great one, the superhero that aids little people against big government, has promised me that he's going to continue showing up audits and going in the IRS offices and causing trouble. They have attacked us many times before, and we always have risen again like the phoenix. Irvin Schiff has been harassed by them for years, and he still files tax returns, but he won't back down, and he'll keep fighting them.
All right.
I don't file tax returns. I don't expect them to bother me. I'm not their slave. I'm not their property. I'll keep fighting.
So you want people to continue to fight. Well, we appreciate, Robert, that good word. It's a great way to end our show, and we appreciate you calling back. We're going to have you back next Thursday morning, same time, about 8:15. So we'll all be prepared for that. And I appreciate the call today, Robert, and we'll look forward to talking with you then.
Okay, thanks, John.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Another exciting show today, but this one's in the books. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here at the same place tomorrow for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.